continue our sermon series, Extraordinary. Ordinary people, extraordinary God, where we are reminded that it is by our extraordinary God that the ordinary practices that we fill in our lives, God can use for amazing kingdom impact. Well, today we're going to continue with our scripture that comes to us from Deuteronomy chapter 5, where it is written, "Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns, so that your male and female servants may rest as you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day." The word of God for us, the people of God.
Let us pray. Holy Spirit, fall upon your word, fall upon our hearts and our minds, form us and transform us, challenge us and renew us, call us to faithfulness. In Christ's name we pray, amen. The rhythm of Sabbath has its origin in the heart of our Creator. The rhythm of Sabbath has its origin in the heart of our Creator. If you go with me back to Genesis 1, when God begins that beautiful and gracious and loving work of creation, it's presented in Scripture as a poem or a song. In other words, we see God sing out of nothingness. And through that song of creation, which comes from the heart of God, creation begins to come about. The song sounds something like this. On the first day, God created the heavens and the earth.
And it was good.
On the second day, God separated the heaven, the waters above from the waters below.
And he saw that it was good.
And on the third day, God separated the waters so that dry land came about. And out of dry land sprung forth plants and trees that in season would bear fruit.
And it was good.
And on the fourth day, God gave us the sun and the moon and the stars above.
And God saw what he had made. And it was good.
And on the fifth day, we were given the gift of the fishes of the sea and the birds of the air.
And indeed, it was good.
And on the sixth day, God created livestock and animals.
And it was good.
And one of the creatures God created on that same day was the creature called humanity, made in the very image of God.
And God looked over all that he had made, and behold, it was very good.
And on the seventh day, God rested from his work of creation.
And it was blessed, and it was holy. The song of creation crescendos actually in silence. The rhythm of God's creation finds its moment in ceasing, in resting. And so it is that we as human beings, as we look throughout our time, our experience, and our work, what we find is our lives are taken into a rhythm larger than ourselves, where we too are called to be a people who cease and who rest. It's interesting, as we look farther into the scriptures, into the story of God, what we find is that the people of Israel find their time in Egypt, and there's a time when they become enslaved, and Pharaoh will not allow them this time of Sabbath. And so it is that on the time that they are released by God with a mighty hand, and they come out and they receive a covenant with God, they are taught that they are to call the Sabbath holy and to keep that time. And the explanation there in Exodus chapter 20 is actually they are to keep the Sabbath because God worked for 6 days and then rested on the seventh. And of course, as the story continues to unfold and the second generation of Israelites are ready to enter into the promised land, we have Moses standing up again. He's teaching them, and this time he gives them a second dimension to Sabbath. He says, remember that you too were once enslaved, and God with a mighty hand freed you so that you could experience the Sabbath. You could know his rest. It's interesting that as we look at our life, our experience today, what it is that the Israelites lost because of their slavery in Egypt, we so oftentimes freely give up of our own volition.
The first mention of Sabbath in the book of Exodus actually has to do with God's great provision for his people in their wilderness times. It was at the time of God raining down manna on his people that he instructed them with the rhythm of creation. When manna rains down on the first day, you are to gather just enough manna for one day. When manna rains down on the second day, you're to gather just enough manna for day two. The third day, the fourth day, the fifth day, until we get to the sixth day. And God says, do not worry, I will rain down enough manna for 2 days. And you may gather 2 days worth of provision. But on the next day, the seventh day, the Sabbath day, the Lord's day, do not look to the heavens for manna, for it shall not come. Do not seek to gather food or to make your own provision, for if you do, you will fail, or what you have hidden will spoil. Do not try to provide for yourself or think that you ever can provide for yourself, because God is our only source of provision. The God of creation is also God the provider. And there's something about the rhythm of Sabbath that says, I'm not doing this on my own, but God is the one who gives the rhythm of my life and the provision of my life. The theologian Marva Don has given a fourfold motion of what Sabbath may look like. But I'll tell you, even as I'm looking at you guys today and thinking about Sabbath, I think about what a wide range of experience we have right here in this room. I have some people who are working full-time, raising children, trying to get youth to the right activity, getting homework done, science project, band practice, Cub Scouts, make sure we get to church, read every night, instill the values of God within their life. Let's have clean laundry, dear God. Please let there be clean laundry. And who's going to feed us? Some of us are living that rhythm right now, and others of us have gone through that rhythm and understand it. I have others in the midst, as we're preaching about Sabbath today, who are retired. We dream of retirement. But then you guys, some tell us that you work more now than before. Wait a minute, that's not retirement. And each one of you has your own rhythm. This is what I want you and need you to hear. Retirement or days off is not the same as Sabbath. There are a lot of people in our world who take time off who never venture to a holy Sabbath. There are motions that happen on a Sabbath that go with the Creator's rhythm. And that first motion may be the hardest. Marva Don called it ceasing, stopping. Do you remember like when you're in a test setting with a teacher and it's one of those time tests, you know, when the timer starts, put your name on the paper, read the directions, do each question, and you're going through and the time starts, you write your name if you remember, and then you're like racing through and all of a sudden they say, pencils up! Do you remember the pencils up moment? Now there's a personality thing right there. Some people are like so relieved the test is over. But if you're like me and a finisher, it drives me crazy. I have 3 more problems. I cannot let the paper be passed in until I finish 3 more problems. How do you think I am at stopping in the midst of life undone? How do you think you are at stopping? Because see, a ceasing goes with the time of day. You will fall asleep and you'll wake in the morning if the email's undone, if the call hasn't been made, if the visit hasn't been done, if the ministry work's not done, pencils up. Stop. Cease. Refrain from busy, scurry, acting, and distracting. And some of us stay busy to stay away from God and each other. Some of us stay distracted with TV and Facebook and grandchild stories and talking on the phone and reading every single bit of the newspaper. Some of it you don't have a thing to do with you. We can distract or stay busy. God's called pencils up. Will you stop and cease and experience a holy Sabbath?
Now we all know that we can stop something. That we can cease what we're doing. Like maybe this time of year, we take a moment to push the taxes to the side. But we know that while we cease what we're doing, that we haven't really stopped what we're doing. We still worry about these things. We still ponder these things. They still weigh down upon our hearts and our lives. And so not only are we called to cease on the Sabbath, we are called to rest on the Sabbath. To rest on the Sabbath. There's a beautiful psalm, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. I remember as I used to pray that prayer and that psalm, I would imagine that imagery, how beautiful and kind and peaceful to just lie down in green pastures. You can almost just imagine God gently inviting us to lay down in green pastures, except that's not exactly what it says. The word there, maketh me, the actual word in the original language has a little bit of force to it. Because apparently God knows that we don't always just lie down in green pastures, do we? We can maybe stop what we're doing, but we're not really going to rest. We're not going to take an opportunity to let go of the things that have been occupying our mind and our heart and our life. We aren't willingly going to let go and lay down and rest. But that is, in fact, what God calls us to do. To remember that He is the Good Shepherd. And we are called to let go. To let go of the fear. To let go of the uncertainty. And to place it into His hands. And to rest.
Now, I've already confessed to you that I have a tendency sometimes to be a human doing instead of a human being. But God's call on us is not to be a human doing, but to rejoice in the gift of being a human being. And that it's okay to stop, to cease the task of the day. It's okay to let our burdens and our heavy yoke rest upon our Lord and Savior, who makes our cares light. And then if you're like me, you're wondering, okay, I've stopped, I've rested and given everything away, what do I get to do? There still is some doing to Sabbath. Marva Don names that third motion in Sabbath as embracing. There's things that we need to embrace. And if you want to identify that which you need to embrace, It's that what we break apart in sin. Our sin disconnects us from God. Our sin disconnects us from one another. And our sin disconnects us from God's good creation. So if you're wondering, what is your embrace? What can you take on during Sabbath? Well, you start with God. You embrace and invite him into the whole day. He's always already there, but you acknowledge that he's there. You talk to him, you hang out with him, you thank him for being there. You invite him in to your presence and into the day that you're living in, into everything that you do, and you rejoice in the fact that you have a God of creation, a God of provision, a God of your future, not just your past. And you invite him into that day and seek to be mindful of that embrace throughout the day. But we also use this time of embrace to go back to the vital relationships in our life. And for each of us, this is going to be different in our household. For me, I need to go back to the vital relationship here and to re-embrace the covenant of marriage. I need to go back and re-embrace what it means to be a mom and to spend intentional time with my son. For some of you, it's going to be about marriage. For some of you, it's going to be about children and grandchildren. For some who live on their own, it's going to be about holy friendships, or using phone or letters as a means to re-embrace. But all of us have relationships that we can reinvigorate. And this is not what I'm talking about. Being in the same house, but one of us is watching TV and one of us is on the computer and we grunt at each other occasionally, like, which means you hungry? Like, sure. What are you hungry for? That's not being present and vital in that covenant. You have to lay aside the newspaper, the computer, the Facebook, Sudoku, whatever you're doing as that distracts you from God and people. You have to lay it aside and truly be present. Hearing each other's voice, being with each other as team together, being present and celebrating the gift of the presence of our loved ones in our life. It is vital and life-giving to our relationships. And not only that, but we also get to embrace creation. And you guys live in Florida. I can't think of any better place to do this. You can hike, you can kayak a river, you can go to Shalom Park, you can ride a horse, you can learn to ride a horse, you can watch the cows. There's so much that you get to do. You can swim in those really cold springs year round. There are so many things. You can garden, you can water, you can cut flowers and arrange them, you can pet a puppy. There are so many ways to embrace God's good gift of creation, and to celebrate that he set us in the midst of it all. We are to stop. We are to let go of those burdens and rest from them. We are to embrace God and his gifts of relationships in our life and his gift of creation.
And as we do that and we find that our lives are aligning with the rhythm that God has created for the world and created for our lives, when we begin to find our lives aligning with that time that God has promised to bless and make holy, that time that he has said he will show up in our lives, that he will touch us and renew us in new and surprising ways. As I think about the Sabbath, in what it means within the great story of Scripture, what we begin to see is this time that God has marked out as holy and blessed begins as a signpost pointing even forward to the time that all of us can enter into God's rest. There are some beautiful, powerful images found in Scripture, especially near the very end. There's this imagery actually of a great feast, where all of us are called together and we're not the ones who have to cook it and set the tables and do everything. God's done that. He just invites us to his feast where all of us can be together. And in fact, that is what Marva Don calls the fourth movement of Sabbath. Not only are we called to cease what we are doing and rest from all that burdens us. Not only are we called to embrace God and those whom we love and all of creation, we are called to feast. For just as God has said he will show up in this time, he will be here to bless us and renew us and call this time holy. So it is especially during the Sabbath when we take opportunities to feast on God's word, that we open up the scriptures and know that he will speak to us. He will give us his word of life and hope and renewal and forgiveness. It's especially on the Sabbath when we take opportunities to feast in prayer. For we know where scripture says it's all going. There will be a day and a time when we see God face to face. When literally his face will be the light of the sun. And he will light the whole world and we will be in his presence. And know his love in a powerful new way. The Apostle Paul says, right now at times we see as if through a mirror dimly. But yet we still see. And in these moments of Sabbath time, we have opportunities to align our life with his. That he may move in our lives. And renew our lives and refill our lives. Because when we are feasting, we are reminded that while Sabbath is a rest from everything that came before in the week, Sabbath is also that time of renewal and refilling for everything that is going to go on before us.
This entire series, Ordinary People, Extraordinary God, is about small, seemingly ordinary choices we can make that when we put them in place will be transforming on a kingdom level. In the Christian church, Sabbath is typically the Lord's Day, the resurrection day. What day? Sunday. And I'm going to tell you, by being in corporate worship today, you've already done a good job with your beginning of your Sabbath. This is an awesome, normal start to a Christian Sabbath day. And you will have a choice in about 15 minutes of whether or not you will embrace the rest of the day as Sabbath, or whether you will distract, be busy, and scurry. You have a choice in about 15 minutes. You can look at the people who came in your car or the people you're meeting for lunch, and you can say, let's do this day differently. And you can have some stopping time, and you can have some rest from worry time, and you can even have some embrace of one another and of God and creation time. And I'll tell you, if you do it today, and then next Sunday, let worship be a reminder, this is Sabbath, and do it again. And let the next Sunday be a reminder in worship that this is Sabbath, and do it again. That God will use that time to renew and refill your innermost parts. He will search you out and give you the grace at the point of your need. It's part of Sabbath, is the restoration and healing that we so need. This is what I want to tell you. Fatigue in and of itself, fatigue is not sin. We all experience fatigue. We all experience physical fatigue, wiped out, on the verge of burnout. Fatigue itself is not sin. Fatigue is actually a sign and an invitation to return to the Creator's rhythm of Sabbath. Fatigue is a sign and an invitation to return to the Creator's rhythm of Sabbath. I will tell you, these last couple weeks have not been good Sabbath weeks for us. It's been very difficult. We don't take Sunday Sabbath because we tend to work on Sundays, but we try to take Friday Sabbath. And for whatever reason, the last few Fridays, they've gotten the squeeze play. There's been important ministry things, or there's been life things, or there's been appointments. There's just been the squeezing and the squishing out. And we begin to feel it. We begin to feel the fatigue. It begins to affect us and impact us. And last night, we got done with a new member retreat, which was awesome, and we loved being there. Then we had a family ministries event, which was awesome, and we loved being there. And we were tired. We were tired. And we're thinking, whoa, we got morning coming. It's not Sabbath. We got morning coming. And I was just like, God, you've got to give us some renewal. I don't know what I'm going to do. And we were driving home, and God gave us, for whatever reason, a mini Sabbath, and it looked like this. We were driving home, and I first began to see it when we were leaving the church. I turned back, and the sun was beginning to set. And I stopped and I took pictures. I don't know why, but I have 5,000 pictures of our church with sunsets behind it. It just does something for my soul. And so I took that picture, and we were driving on home, and that was it. I had seen a pretty picture, and I was going to go home and scurry through all the things I needed to get done. And we were driving into the neighborhood, and as I was driving along, that bright orange ball of fire that we sometimes see was just like gleaming into me in such a way I could not ignore it. And so we drove into our development. I'm like, we'll see if Luke notices this. And I take a wrong turn, and I go towards where I know there's an opening to see the sunset. And I drive there, and not only is there an opening to see the sunset, but they just moved cows onto the ranch a few weeks ago. And we love cows and we love ranches. On the north side of our development's horses, on the south side is cows. And I'm like, I rejoice in being in the midst of creation and land and animals. And so we drove down to the end and we put down our windows, even though the allergies are so bad. I just did it. I'm living wildly for God. I put down and I let Ocala air be breathed into my lungs. And I'll deal with it in the next few days, but that's okay. And we took pictures and we rejoiced and we heard cows moo and we mooed at the cows. And then, oh, I'm sorry, did I say that part out loud? It's just what you do when you have kids, you moo back, okay. And then this guy comes running out of his house and I'm like, oh no, we're on his property. We're so toast, you know? And this guy comes running out and he looks at us and he's like, does this thing, and I'm like, what? He looks at us, and then he's taking pictures himself, like he found our Sabbath. Somehow, in our little glimpse of Sabbath, we let him notice that there was Sabbath in this moment. And then the next thing I know, he's calling his kids and his wife, and we're about to have a neighborhood Sabbath right there with the cows. And I will tell you, it is not the full day that God called me to. I will seek that later this week. But it was the gift of the rhythm of creation that comes from the heart of our Creator, saying, when you see this, you will remember me. When you delight in this with your family, you renew one another. When you delight in my creation and love those cows and horses and talk to them and just embrace this great gift, God delights in us because we're delighting in him. Brothers and sisters, fatigue is not a sin. It's a sign and an invitation to return to Sabbath. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for giving us the gifts we need even before we need them. Thank you for giving us the gifts we need even when we ignore them and neglect them and discard them. Thank you for being generous and giving us the gift of Sabbath again today. And God's people said, amen.